Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Citizen International Digest. I'm Mel Gertov. I'll be reporting and commenting on the most important and sometimes the most neglected international news of the week. Here are today's top stories. Two major defeats for Trump's tariffs. Trump will discuss arms sales to Taiwan with Xi Jinping, and the U.S. to build an alternative, costly global health network. Two major defeats for Trump's tariffs. The Supreme Court finally weighed in on Trump's tariffs. By a 6-3 margin, the court disallowed tariffs that Trump had tried to justify on the basis of a 1977 emergency trade law that doesn't even use the word tariffs. The court's decision invalidates tariffs for around 1/4 of all imports to the U.S., those from about 20 countries, plus the European Union. It could lead to a good deal of chaos in international business circles at home as questions arise about repayment to businesses and consumers for what amount to taxes on imported goods. The government has collected over $200 billion in tariff revenue since Trump imposed high tariffs. Will any of that be refunded? The chaos extends to business and governments abroad. Should they adhere to existing trade agreements? What comes next with the always unpredictable Trump? India, Indonesia, Japan, and South Korea all made significant concessions to the U.S. to get lower tariffs, only to find that had they waited, they would have gotten a better deal without having to promise huge investments in the U.S. or tariff-free imports of U.S. products. By the way, the across-the-board tariffs announced by Trump were set at 10%, then announced as 15% a day later, only to be held off for now. It's the kind of unpredictability characteristic of Trump. Trump railed against the court majority, which included the Chief Justice. He called the decision a disgrace, said those who ruled against him were disloyal, and suggested that the court was in bed with foreign countries. He made clear immediately after news of the court's decision reached him that, quote, I can do anything I want. Perhaps he can. He has plenty of options under existing trade law, though that won't prevent new lawsuits and probably won't reduce the prices of many basic commodities, such as steel and aluminum. There's more to come. A second defeat for Trump's tariffs is the news that they have failed to accomplish the aim of a sharp reduction in the U.S. trade deficit. Instead, the deficit went down only 0.2% in 2025 compared with 2024, a record $1.2 trillion. Trump claimed it went down 78%, a figure he erroneously plucked out of a single month's reduction. Including services along with goods, the U.S. trade deficit was still over $900 billion last year, based on exports of $3.4 trillion and imports of $4.3 trillion. Although the trade deficit with China declined considerably, with a 30% reduction in Chinese imports, U.S. imports from other Asian countries, such as Vietnam and Taiwan, more than made up for that. Trump will discuss arms sales to Taiwan with Xi Jinping. U.S. arms sales to Taiwan are a pillar of China policy in two ways. First, the sales, such as the most recent one for a whopping $11 billion, are critical to Taiwan's ability to deter a Chinese attack. Second, the sales are not a matter of discussion with China. Yet here is Trump saying, in anticipation of his visit to China in April, quote, I'm talking to him, Xi Jinping, about it. We had a good conversation, and we'll make a determination pretty soon. We? Added that he has a, quote, very good relationship with President Xi. Of course. But Trump is mindful that in his last telephone conversation with Xi, Xi warned that U.S. arms sales to Taiwan must be handled with, quote, prudence. If Trump essentially gives China a veto over those sales, it won't leave Taiwan defenseless. There are plenty of other arms suppliers, and Taiwan is significantly increasing its arms spending. But it will be the worst nightmare, abandonment by the United States. The shock effect on Taiwan's morale will give China's pressure for unification a sizable boost. Any limitation of arms sales to Taiwan ordinarily would have to be set by Congress, since congressional law in 1979 obligates the U.S. to supply Taiwan with arms for defense. The U.S. to build an alternative, costly global health network. in place of the World Health Organization, from which the U.S. has withdrawn, and the Agency for International Development, which the Trump administration has dismantled, the administration is proposing its own global disease network at a cost of around $2 billion a year, or three times what it cost the U.S. previously. According to the Washington Post, the administration, quote, would recreate systems such as laboratories, data-sharing networks, and rapid response systems the U.S. abandoned under the World Health Organization and AID. At that time, the U.S. was paying around 15% of the World Health Organization's budget. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Health and Human Services Department will take this project on. International health experts questioned this move by the administration, quote, spending two to three times the cost to create what we already had access to makes absolutely no sense in terms of fiscal stewardship, said Tom Inglesby, a former advisor to Joe Biden, now at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. The administration's plan cannot have the reach or influence of the World Health Organization with respect either to governments or non-governmental organizations. Moreover, this administration plan comes too late to save lives already lost by the U.S. withdrawal. Upward of 750,000 lives, according to Atul Gawande, USAID's former Assistant Administrator for Global Health. In other news, Trump's latest intervention in Greenland fails. We all knew that just because Trump reached an agreement with Denmark on security cooperation in Greenland, that wouldn't be the end of the story. His latest attempt to force his way on Greenland was his offer to send a hospital ship there to, quote, take care of the many people who are sick and not being taken care of there, adding that the ship was on the way. The Danes had other ideas. They rejected the visit and reminded Trump that Greenlanders, like all Danes, but not Americans, have access to free health care. Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen of Denmark did not need to mention Trump or the United States in saying, quote, I'm happy to live in a country where there is free and equal access to health care for everyone. The same approach exists in Greenland, she said. She might also have informed Trump that the hospital ship is actually in dry dock. As NATO focuses on Arctic defense, China and Russia coordinate research in the Arctic. The news about NATO's security concerns in the Arctic come as China's interests in the Arctic increase. Newsweek reports that China is paying Russia hundreds of thousands of dollars to join its scientific expeditions to the Arctic. China's presence on Russian ships was disclosed to Newsweek by Chinese researchers and officials at a research conference in the Arctic Circle in early February in Norway. Newsweek was one of the only Western media outlets present at the Chinese event. A Chinese researcher told Newsweek that although the Russians have denied China a bid to establish a research center along Russia's Arctic coast, the two countries have held four joint expeditions in the Arctic since 2016, gathering mineral samples. Donald Trump votes for Viktor Orban. Trump is not shy about meddling in other countries' politics. He stumped for Bolsonaro in Brazil, Netanyahu in Israel, Milei in Argentina, and Mark Carney's opponent in Canada, among others. Last week, Trump offered a ringing endorsement of Viktor Orban's re-election in Hungary, saying, quote, highly respected Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban, is a truly strong and powerful leader with a proven track record of delivering phenomenal results. He fights tirelessly for and loves his great country and people, just like I do. Viktor works hard to protect Hungary, grow the economy, create jobs, promote trade, stop illegal immigration, and ensure law and order in capital letters. Trump vowed to strengthen U.S.-Hungary relations. Marco Rubio just visited Orban to plug his candidacy. Orban's autocratic regime has already been in office 16 years. Trump again criticizes the British handover of the Chagos Islands. President Trump criticized the United Kingdom's impending handover of the Chagos Islands to Mauritius as a big mistake, insisting that the U.S. might need the airbase on Diego Garcia in the Chagos for future airstrikes against Iran if Iran should fail to agree to a nuclear deal. Decide not to make a deal, said Trump, it may be necessary for the U.S. to use Diego Garcia to eradicate a potential attack by a highly unstable and dangerous regime. A few weeks ago, Trump said that Britain's Prime Minister Keir Starmer had committed an, quote, act of great stupidity for deciding that the Chagos Islands would be handed over to Mauritius on a 99-year lease arrangement. It now appears that Britain is blocking the U.S. from use of the base for an attack on Iran, which accounts for Trump's criticism of Britain. But get this, the State Department issued a statement that clearly expressed U.S. support for Britain's handover. Someone evidently had failed to bring state into the loop. Next, who needs Canada? Trump may bypass renewing the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. The New York Times is reporting that Trump is considering not including Canada in the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement that is shortly up for renewal. Despite the great costs to American businesses that carving Canada out of the agreement would create, Trump is evidently so piqued with Canada and its Prime Minister Mark Carney that he's willing to sacrifice a huge trade relationship. The U.S. ambassador to Israel endorses Israel's control of the Middle East. In an interview with the far-right commentator Tucker Carlson, U.S. ambassador to Israel and Christian evangelical Mike Huckabee was asked whether Israel had the right to control a greater Israel spanning what he described as basically the entire Middle East, to which Huckabee replied that, quote, it would be fine if they took it all. Huckabee also said Israel was, quote, a land that God gave through Abraham. And when Carlson asked whether that territory extended from the Nile River to the Euphrates, Huckabee replied, I'm not sure it would go that far. It would be a big piece of land. The Palestinian Authority condemned Huckabee's remarks as provocative and unacceptable, while Jordan and the Arab League described them as a violation of established diplomatic norms. The Palestinian Authority urged the Trump administration to denounce the ambassador's remarks for undermining efforts for a lasting peace in the region. Jordan said that Huckabee's comments contradicted Trump's declared position against Israeli annexation of the West Bank. Don't count on Trump to contradict Huckabee. The death of a far-right man in France creates turmoil. In a situation reminiscent of the killing of Charlie Kirk, a young far-right activist, Quentin Durant, was killed in a brawl in Lyon, apparently by several far-left individuals. 11 people have been arrested and 2 have been charged with murder. Far-right demonstrations in honor of the slain activist have taken place across France. CNN reports that, quote, French sociologists tracking militant political violence say the vast majority of incidents in recent decades have been caused by far-right and neo-Nazi groups. The government has disbanded 3 far-right groups so far and 1 far-left group. But this incident may help the far-right National Rally Party win the presidency for the first time in national elections next year. As one French analyst wrote, quote, a kind of landslide occurred with the death of Quentin Durant. The French unbowed leftist party became the most criticized, both politically and in the media. The Trump administration and the Italian government were quick to step in, citing left-wing violence as the reason for Durant's death. The State Department posted that, quote, violent radical leftism is on the rise, and its role in Quentin Durant's death demonstrates the threat it poses to public safety. We will continue to monitor the situation and expect to see the perpetrators of violence brought to justice, unquote. No mention of far-right violence. France summoned the U.S. ambassador, Charles Kushner, yes, that Kushner, to protest the State Department's comments, but he didn't show up. Now Kushner is barred by the French government from contact with any French ministries. Finally, the real U.S. prize in the Ukraine war, Russian resources. Donald Trump's only concern about the war in Ukraine is that it end ASAP in order for him to win the peace, that is, a supposed $12 trillion worth of deals with Russia. As The Economist reports, quote, in Europe, fears are rising that President Trump could force Ukraine into crippling concessions by June, his latest deadline for peace, to chase gold in Russia. Of course, those fears are also Ukraine's nightmare. President Zelensky knows that nothing matters to Trump so much as a big deal. The Economist reports that, quote, America has been offered deals for Arctic oil and gas, rare earth mines, a nuclear-powered data center, and a tunnel under the Bering Strait. Both sides stand to benefit, Russia is suffering from low oil prices and stricter sanctions, and America's president wants results before the November midterm elections. Nevertheless, most American businesses, around 1,500 of them that once operated in Russia, remain leery of returning to that country. And that's the Global Citizen International Digest for the week. I'm Mel Gertov. Thanks for listening, and take good care.